Lord, thank you that we get to be in your house. And for those that aren't here today, God, I just ask that you comfort them and guide them and strengthen them with whatever they're going through. We ask, Lord, that this coronavirus will soon come to an end as far as its spread and the damage that it's doing to so many countries right now, Lord Jesus. We know that any relief we get is just grace from you, and we're so grateful and thankful that to this time there's been no cases that we know of in Skykomish. We ask that continue to be so, but even if it's not, even if we all ended up being sick, Lord, we know that we can trust you, and we know that you go before us and you are our rear guard and you just walk by our side, and we're so grateful, Jesus, that we have you to lean on whenever there's a time of need. As we look into your word today, Lord Jesus, give me strength to speak your word and not my own, and to speak your thoughts and not mine. And I pray that my heart will be touched and anyone listening will be able to know that you are God and that you are good. Amen. Ephesians 6:5 in the Pew Bibles, we're page 1789. The title I've given this sermon is Slaves Serve. And we're going to have to serve somebody. We're going to have to figure that out. This concept of slavery is so abhorrent that many translations try to soften this by changing it to bond servant or something else. But there were words for servants in Greek, and this is not one of them. This is truly talking about slaves. Now, if you're talking about a bond servant, that's just another name for a slave. Somebody that's in bondage, somebody that's bound to their master, in some cases their owner. Slavery is historically different than what the United States' history of slavery has been. It's not always something that's racial, and I think in the United States it became more of a race thing than anything else. But it generally is the haves and the have-nots, and there's a lot in Scripture, more than I would like to think that would be there, about slavery. And oftentimes we want to rewrite Scripture and think that maybe they didn't quite get it right, that they should have been denouncing slavery more and they should have been putting it down more. And you will find in Timothy that slave trading is forbidden. It's not to be done in the Christian world. And most of the time, when you look at societies that have found a way to abolish slavery, it's been the Christians that have been the ones pushing that agenda and helping to move away from it. At the same time, historically, there's also been churches and religious people that have been trying to protect the agency of slavery, and there's lots of different reasons for that. We have to be honest with ourselves and with one another. As a society, we've gotten some things wrong. But when I look in Scripture and I read a verse like this one, today's verse, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. That seems harsh with our understanding of what we would like the world to be like. One difficulty is that slavery was just a matter of life at that time. It was something that was an everyday occurrence and acceptance. People understood it. They were either involved in it as people that had slaves, or they were slaves. In the Roman Empire back in the first century, in Italy, one out of three individuals were slaves. In the rest of the Roman Empire, one out of five. So 20% of their population were slaves. They were in bondage for a lot of different reasons. Sometimes they were born into slavery. sometimes they were captured and taken. Sometimes it was an act of war, like the Incas and the Aztecs and all those, where they go to war and they take over another group of people, and it's like, okay, you can be our slaves or we can kill you. Which would you prefer? They have a choice. Oftentimes, you know, after a war, an entire population would be brought into slavery. They'd be moved away from their area where they were raised and they were familiar with and comfortable with, and taken other places. And that's kind of what we did in America when individuals from Africa were brought here and made slaves. They tried to make, our European forefathers tried to make the Native Americans slaves, and that didn't work so well. They were familiar with the area, they knew how to escape, they knew how to get away to different places. They also knew that if they didn't work, they wouldn't be needed, and so they eventually would just let them go, or it would stop that practice. So the history of slavery is not pleasant, no matter where we are. One aspect of slavery back in the first century was people would be indebted on purpose. They knew that they couldn't afford to live on their own, and they would find somebody that would be like a benefactor, and they would ask them, "Can I be your slave?" And or they would have so much debt that they had to pay off that they would end up debtors in slavery. So there's lots of different ways people became slaves. I wish that every time in Scripture the word slave was brought up, it's like, and we know that this is bad and you shouldn't do it and stop it, and that's not what you find in Scripture. In fact, more often than not, it's, hey, slaves, obey your earthly masters. Do it like you would do for Christ. You know, do everything for God. Do everything for His glory, and demonstrate your love and respect to your master by obedience. Just obey your earthly master. And that's, none of us want to hear that. We don't want to have to obey anybody. And that's where it takes us. Now again, we're still in this section about submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So with the reality of a lot of people in the churches that this epistle went to, Paul wrote this epistle to a number of churches, church in Ephesus and others, and there would have been individuals in those churches that were slaves. There would have been individuals in those churches that were slave owners. And so he's giving advice on where they lived at that time. He's not saying, hey, you should all go out and get some slaves or whatever. He's not condoning slavery, but he's not condemning it either. He's just accepting it as a matter of, this is what is in society. This is the lot that you were given. Make the best of it by being Christ-like, by obedience to Christ, by submitting to one another. Submit to your master out of obedience, out of reverence for Christ. Because it's going to make your life better, it's going to make his life better or her life better, and so we look at all these situations. It would have always been a him back then. There wouldn't have been females that owned slaves, I don't think, other than possibly some Egyptian royalty or something. But slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. And there's a couple other verses in this passage about slavery. We're going to get to those next week. But today I just wanted to look a little bit about, you know, okay, this concept of slavery, slaves, is in Scripture. How does that apply to us? And I think it's kind of important to not just blow it off and say, well, I don't own a slave and I'm not a slave. I'm not indebted to anyone. So that's an easy thing to say. I'm going to convince all of us, I hope, that we're all going to have to serve somebody. Just like Bob Dylan's song, right? In Proverbs 22, verse 7, the rich rule over the poor and the borrower is slave to the lender. Just a note on that. It's kind of, you know, as you go through Proverbs, you see a lot of wisdom. There's sayings there that the borrower is slave to the lender. How many of us have debts or have had debts during our lifetime? We owe somebody something. We bought a house. We bought a car. We we bought a coffee pot and couldn't afford to pay cash for it and put it on a credit card. I mean, whatever it is, you're indebted. Now, part of why our society is falling apart right now, people think they should be able to go out and use that plastic and buy whatever they want, whenever they want, wherever they want, and then not have to pay it back. And that's part of what costs honest people more money, is because if you're paying your debts, the bank's going to find a way to make sure they recoup their losses from those that aren't paying their debts. Guess who they're going to look to? The ones that are paying their debts. So, you know, if you were going to carry a loan, they're going to just kind of raise the cost of that loan carrying, and they'll find ways. So there's a note here. Many economies depended on slaves, and others depend on cheaper labor than slavery. There were a number of countries during the Roman Empire that really didn't have slavery. Most of them were Arab countries. And they didn't have slaves because they had really, really cheap labor. In America, when slavery was abolished, what happened? We started open borders so that we can get people from other countries to come in. We started sending factories overseas to wherever, you know. Check the labels on your clothing that you're wearing. Made in Indonesia, China, Vietnam, Singapore. It's going to have something, maybe Brazil, although a lot of these other nations are starting to figure out, oh wait, we should have a union and we should find a way to have livable wages. And there's some reality that if you can live cheaper in another country, your labor is still going to be less expensive. The difference between wages in different states, even if you go to West Virginia versus California or New York, and there's different cost of living. So with your cost of living comes up your need for more resources. If you've got cheap labor, you can buy a lot of stuff really cheaply. But if you want to treat everybody like you'd like to be treated, how does that work? That's just an aside, but you know, kind of, you know, the rich rule over the poor, the borrower is slave to the lender. I think there's at least been some times in our lives where we've been slaves. Now let's assume you've got your whole house paid off, you've got your cars all paid for, they're free and clear, everything's good, don't have any credit card debt, pay all your bills every single month as you go. Who are you indebted to then? Because if you own a house, there's going to be tax man coming knocking every year. I don't know that here on earth we're ever going to have a time of total freedom. And yet, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And so this concept that we have of slaves obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ, it's like you might be a slave in position here on earth, but that doesn't mean you have to act like a slave. You can act like a free person. You're free to choose to do your best at what you're doing. You're free to make the very, very best of it. And we're free to do that too, as we pay our taxes and as we pay back our loans and all the different people that we may be indebted to. John 8, if you want to turn there, let me see if I can find it real quick. John 8, and starting with verse 31, will be on page 1634 in the Pew Bible. There were always these conversations that Jesus had with various religious leaders, and he's having a conversation with some individuals. This one I find interesting. It says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said. So these are people, Jewish people that had listened to the message of Jesus and they believed him. They're becoming followers of Jesus. I think we can relate to that as followers of Jesus ourselves. So these are words written to people that had been followers of Jesus at this point anyway, to start with. And he says to them, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. How do you know that somebody's a disciple of Jesus? They follow his teaching. They're obedient to the word. Then he says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I know that that's a saying that they like to put up on libraries and courts and other places. They don't put that other the first part in about, you know, if you're obedient, then you'll know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Now, if you're a slave and you need to be set free, what should you do? Well, know Jesus. If you know the truth, if you know Jesus, you'll be set free. How do we know if we know Jesus or not? Well, we follow his teachings. So this is what Jesus is telling to those that had believed him. And they answered him, "We're Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Now, I don't know that they're saying historically Abraham's children had never been slaves anywhere. Nobody would be that crazy, right? I mean, 400 years in Egypt, that's a long time of history, and they all knew about that. But they themselves didn't feel like they'd ever been enslaved. And I think many of us walk around with that attitude. I'm not a slave. You're not the boss of me. Nobody's the boss of me. I get to make my own choices. I get to decide. I get to choose. And how can you say that we're going to be set free if we've never been a slave? Well, Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." So maybe the borrower is a slave to the lender, but let's take it a step further. How many of us have ever sinned? Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. So if you're defined by your life of being a sinner, then you're a slave to sin. It sounds like you need to be set free. You need some liberty. In Hebrews chapter 12, after talking about all of the people of faith in chapter 11, he says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles." Even followers of Jesus have besetting sins, entangling sins, sins that we can't get rid of so easily. If you're in a position of leadership, maybe that sin of pride or haughtiness or arrogance. If you're feeling like you're helpless and you never have anything and nothing goes right, you've got that sin of despair. Be anxious for nothing, Scripture says. Now, that doesn't mean, like I like to think, okay, well, yeah, I'm anxious and I have no reason, so I'm following Scripture, right? I'm anxious for nothing. But no, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, give thanks to the Lord. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. He's the author of our faith. In Romans 6, and that's another one. I'm going to go through the whole chapter of Romans 6. Okay. So, in your pew Bible, Romans 6 is on pages 1722 and 1723. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? We're finding out that, you know, if their sin, God can cover that sin and show his grace, so we want to give God an opportunity to show more grace, right? Well, no, by no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can you live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in death, in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Don't be a slave to sin. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. So everyone that has sinned is a slave to sin, and yet we can die to that. We die with Jesus, with his death. And at that point, we can be alive to Christ and dead to sin. We can no longer be a slave to sin because we're choosing to follow Jesus in every way. We're becoming an instrument of righteousness. Continuing on. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. So we're set free and become slaves. That's interesting wording, isn't it? Going to have to serve somebody. You're going to serve death and sin, or you're going to serve righteousness, holiness, and God, and eternal life. Now, this I just find shocking, and again, you know, knowing the history of the first century Rome here, Paul says, I'm using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. It's like, okay, the reason I bring up slavery is because you all understand slavery. You all get it. It's in your lives. It's everywhere around you. You see it, you know it. So when I talk about not being a slave or being a slave, you can be a slave to death and sin, or you can be a slave to righteousness. You understand slavery. So he's just using that term. He's not saying, please rush out there and become a slave. But in a sense, he is saying, yeah, you know, choose to be a slave to goodness, a slave to righteousness. He's saying, just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. That's kind of a weird thought, isn't it? Just to think about it. You're free from doing the right thing because you're a sinner. You're a slave to sin. That frees you from the other side. But the death of Jesus and our understanding of him calling us and we accepting him, it's changed that so that we've switched sides. Now we're not slaves to sin, we're slaves to righteousness. But when you were slaves to sin, what benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. Did you reap any benefit from that? I wouldn't think. But now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yeah. God sets us free. It's even better than that. When we get to Romans 8, he talks about us being children, heirs. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. If you're still following along in the Pew Bible, just turn the page there. And it's page 1725. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. But it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. And the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves. We can become slaves to righteousness, which leads to holiness, which gives you the result of eternal life, but you're not really a slave at all. Why? It doesn't make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Jesus, with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering in order that we may also share in his glory. Now, if you're a child, you're not a slave. Now, I know a lot of us as kids thought that parents were making us slaves, right? It's like, oh, Dad, do I have to do that? In a sense, you don't have a lot of rights as a child, do you? But as a slave, you have absolutely no rights and no future. As a child, as an heir, you may not feel like you have any rights as you're growing up and progressing, but there comes a time when you come of age and you're given an inheritance. It's a beautiful thing. So we don't have to be slaves to sin. We can actually be children of God. First Corinthians 7, 20-24 here. Each person should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. Now that's kind of an interesting thing because Paul's explaining to him, you know, were you a slave when you were first saved, when you were called to Jesus? Don't sweat it. Just remain in that situation and do the best that you can do. Be obedient with respect to your boss out of reverence for Christ, out of reverence for one another. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although if you can gain your freedom, do so. Yeah, if you can, yay. Good. But if you can't, it's not the end of the world. You're still free in Jesus. You're still free in Christ. For the one who was a slave when called to faith in the Lord is the Lord's freed person. Similarly, the one who was free when called is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of human beings. So even if you are positionally a slave of a human and you have a human master, be free in Christ. And don't let that mindset that you have keep you in slavery. Brothers and sisters, each person as responsible to God should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. Now, how many of us, when we're called by God, I was called as a child. I think Scripture points out I should probably remain as a child. That's the way we should approach God. But what if you were called and you're an employee? You were called and you're a husband. You were called and you're a wife. You were called and you're a parent. You don't have to go and change everything. I think some people, you know, when they become Christians, they think, oh no, I've got to throw off all of the worldly stuff. And it's like, well, yes and no. I mean, the fleshly, worldly stuff, yeah, get rid of that. But there's positions you have in life. Don't just jump and run and assume that you have to go and do something different. Not everybody that becomes a follower of Jesus has to be a full-time paid missionary. Whatever you were doing at the time, do that to the best of your ability. If you were a slave, do it all as unto the Lord. If you were a mechanic or a sanitary engineer, do it as unto the Lord. If you were whatever, a nurse, a doctor, a town clerk, whatever you were, do it as unto the Lord. And if God calls you out of that, he'll let you know. If you can get freedom from what you consider to be your slavery, do it. But don't be concerned so much about your position as you are about your relationship with God. In 1 Corinthians 9, Paul says, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. It's like, yeah, I'm going to submit myself to everybody around me. I can try to be all things to all people so that I can win some for Christ. And that was Paul's attitude, and he would go on his journeys, and yeah, he'd get depressed and down in the dumps. He was human just like the rest of us. He's sitting in a jail cell and, you know, chained to a soldier, and he's like, you know, writing letters, could you come? Everybody else has abandoned me. and bring me some of my scrolls, my good readings, my books, and my nice coat. It's cold here. You know, he's kind of like Jesus. I mean, you look at the emotions and feelings that Jesus went through. But at the same time, he was free. When Jesus went to the cross, he was free to lay his life down for us. He submitted himself for the church. And Paul's like, yeah, I'm free. I don't belong to anybody, but I'm going to make myself a slave to everyone so that if it's possible, I can win some to Christ. So, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. There is such a thing as slavery. I think we're all, in one way or another, enslaved to something or somebody. But if we take the attitude of we're doing it just as we would obey Christ, we're going to have a sincere heart. We're going to demonstrate respect to the point where it's like, okay, I'm honoring you. I'm placing you above me. I'm putting your needs and your desires above my own. I'm submitting to you out of respect for Christ. Because my heart has changed. That's where the sincere heart comes from. We can't do that in our own strength. It takes Holy Spirit's guidance. It takes His strength, His energy, His love for us to love others around us. Thank you, Father. If we're to be slaves, Lord, help us to be slaves to you and to your righteousness. Help us to submit to one another out of reverence for you, Lord Jesus. Amen.